Hey there. Welcome to Perceptions of the Arcane. I'm Barb King, and I'm your host tonight. Tonight on my show, I'm going to be having my daughters, Cassandra and Joelle, are going to be my guests. They're going to come on. They're going to talk about their ongoing experiences in everyday life with their messengers and guides and how they've come to learn to recognize and utilize their messages and symbols to help them get along in their everyday walk when they're doing their life thing. You know, I want to give them a chance to come on because I really think they have a lot to say. Yeah, they're only in their 20s, but they are very, very, very wise and old souls. They came in old souls, so yeah, they're old souls. But as everybody knows, messengers and guides, they try to help you along your way. They try to give you symbols, put things in front of your path to help you guide your way through this journey that we call life. I've had a lot of experiences, especially this past month, of actual messengers and how they really do manifest and put things in front of you that really help you guide and pick the way you want to go for your best outcome as you're making your journey and walking your walk. I've seen it over and over and over. I've seen manifestations for the positive. I've seen messages that were not so positive, but, you know, you have to go through those too. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to hold up the line long with a lot of, oh, you know, they're like coming on and they're going to start talking about their messengers and their guides and their symbolism. So if you would, take a few minutes, sit back and listen to my daughters, Cassandra and Joelle.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
And my sister and I tonight had planned, we wanted to talk to you guys about our messenger and how everyday life goes with us.
And let's see, how should we begin, right?
There's a lot, really, to begin with. We could, in short, explain how we met our messengers. The first years, I think, were what,
2011.
And it's kind of unfortunate. The first times we met some of them, the very first one I've ever dealt with was St. Nail.
Yeah.
And a long time ago, my sister and I did get to discuss this before here on BTR. But long story short, I actually believed that St. Nail was a bad guy at one point in time because my sister had been in a really nasty relationship.
Yeah.
And he came to me. And being that I understood his appearance as Baphomet in an unfortunate approach from religion, I had believed that he was evil because of his appearance or he was bad. Like, I was just misled to believe that that's what he was. And I kept having a lot of nightmares of which he was just trying to warn me because constant nightmares I'd have where I was fighting with my sister or my mother, and he would appear and actually warn me that if I were to continue the way that I was behaving, as in ignoring the situations at hand and letting myself get out of control of my anger at the time, then the family would become violent or fall apart. And I was going to pull against him because I didn't want to believe any of it was true. And eventually, he did get me to a point of where I did break down. I actually had one awful nightmare at one point in time where I couldn't get out of the dream. He had done something where I kept trying to run away, but I'd reappear in my room and it would start over and over again about four times until I actually begged him to let me wake up. And to my surprise, I actually did wake up and I started thinking about things and I did actually open myself up, let myself channel and talk to him, and I found out he wasn't as horrible as I believed he was. And ever since then, I'd built a friendship with him, eventually closer, which I'd probably discuss that in another time with my sister about relationships, romantic relationships with messengers.
Yeah.
That's for another time. Then it progressed as the years went that we got to know them, but for some reason we still believed that there were demons out there, when clearly there wasn't.
Now, it's a good thing to note here with what we're talking about now at this point. If a messenger at any given point, now here's the thing we're trying to say. they might look absolutely terrifying. They might behave aggressively, or they might be appearing in the connotation of something that's supposed to be a demon or whatever, but it isn't. One, punishment is a common thing with a messenger. If you're off your path or you're doing something like, say, a bad vice, or you're vindictive, or there's some other intricate problem, they are going to come after you for that.
It also might be good to mention that if they're taking an appearance like that, they're likely trying to symbolically represent something of maybe a vice, like my sister just said, a bad behavior or habit that you have by taking form of some kind of animal, maybe a beast. Perhaps you have rage problems. Maybe they'll appear to you similar to a werewolf or some kind of other beast that you might see as aggression or anger or control. And I lost what I was saying here.
No, calm down. It's all right.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
You were talking about forms and shapes, werewolves.
It's all right. However, I would like to note that evil is never a term for these guys. They, like I just said, it's usually for a job or their effort to try and get you on the right path. And yes, there are messengers that are out of hand, but they're not evil. There's usually a reason behind that, but
there are misguided messengers. That is one. Usually it is the younger of the kind. There is a large span of messengers. This also connects to the same of messenger relationships, which they have amongst their own or amongst sometimes humans. But they do have times where, at their youngest, they may actually be misled, or they may fall into negative attitudes or habits, which also connects to the reason for punishment messengers, which teaches them their lessons as they grow. And even just general events with their own life teaches them things. And as they get older, they get wiser. I mean, there are some older ones that can get unruly, but like any other messenger, they can become good as well.
Right. For the most point, though, it's usually a point of punishment to the human or trying to prod you in the right direction. It's usually, it's not necessarily rare, but it's a little uncommon that it's done by an out-of-hand messenger.
Yeah, it's actually really uncommon. And most of the time, it's usually... I've actually had an encounter with one of these types, and amongst speaking to council, which is the highest rank of messengers, which have a great hand or a great deal over dealing with the earth, they had given one over to this household that, despite their efforts to try and punish us, it ended up falling backward on them to let them know that they weren't as powerful as they liked to pretend that they were. And it kind of ended up where we ended up helping with them punishing that particular one, despite thinking that maybe we were in trouble with something.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a good point. And with Satanael, no, he's not evil. Yes, he might appear the way he is, or he did go after joy in dreams, but he had his reasons.
But that does not make him evil.
Yes.
It just simply means that that is how he appears. As far as I'm aware, from what I've ever spoken to him that I know in his lineage, from his messenger parents, he has some nature spirit in him. And that is just generally how he chooses to appear. He is partly of a satyr.
Another good one to note that we're close with because of an incident in 2011 would be Zalgo. And that, okay, so I think to get the height of this, we'd have to describe in another time about all the different forms that they take or what messengers all can be. But for the shortest point of this, Zalgo is a Nez Perdian hive mind, a chaos god, an internet mythos mostly, but that's the form he took. For humans to see and understand what exactly he is in form. But back in 2011, when I was in a bad position, because, you know, there's an obsessive issue with a guy I liked, and even then it wasn't good. It was not a good thing.
I remember that. I had a couple dreams with his appearance, and due to his antagonistic nature, I personally believed that he was evil for a time. Because we were still in that young stage in 2012 where we didn't completely understand the life of messengers, their behaviors. I believed that meant that there was still bad out there. And then little did I understand that he was just trying to warn of chaos.
Yeah, because he would often take the form of that exact person or people even to this day covered in a black mass, and it looks like it jitters, like, say, a video game glitch, or... I guess it's hard to describe if you don't play a video game, but it's just...
You can consider TV fuzz one of them, too.
Yeah, TV fuzz. Just nothing but a pure black energy version of that covering a person, warping how they look, and turning them into these monsters, which is usually his signal for chaos enveloping somebody, or, it's, we've come to learn, he's pointing out a chaotic person in life.
I think to give a little bit of insight, at least, on messengers and their connections to media, what my sister is saying about Zalgo as a messenger... is, in birth, he likely was, that this is how he appeared. Perhaps it was said that either people picked up on his appearance, and that's how he spread around to his image, which is what most other messengers will do. Let's say especially in art. You get an image that appears prominently in your head, and you're not sure why. You feel the need to draw it, or speak about what you're seeing. Similar to those out there who channel general spirits. They're giving you an image so that you understand what they're like, and that image becomes their personality. Sometimes there are messengers that will see an image and wish to mimic it because they like it or feel they can connect to it. Let's say much similar to a cosplayer or people who like to wear certain costumes or that have a certain way they like to appear. And this is something that messengers will follow generally in their everyday life.
If it means, yeah, especially if it means connecting better to you as a person or... portraying some kind of symbolic aspect or whichever.
It's just easier for a messenger to connect with us as something that we understand and something that we live with every day, especially the target that they've seen is, let's say you have something that you're a you have a favorite movie, a favorite comic, perhaps a favorite series. Have you ever just said to yourself, I'm pretty sure many of you have, I want to know that character because I can relate. I love this character. I wish I could talk to them. There are messengers who will represent them and have either done their best to be just like that character, or some of them were actually the birth of that character and helped inspire this character in the creator.
Yeah, because when it comes right down to it, when someone sits down to make a character or a show or something of that matter, the thought had to come from somewhere, didn't it? So when you let something play in your mind or you start designing something, basically you're seeing an image of a messenger that's giving themselves their image, their behavior, for you to put down in writing, in art, in movies, whichever you're doing.
It actually goes both ways. Sometimes there's a character that you understand came to mind from you. It was a character you envisioned and you wanted to create. But sometimes there's, like I said before, the ones where you're not sure where the image came from mentally, and you're not sure why you felt compelled, and those are usually the ones that are the given messengers. That's how you distinguish it. If you understood the direction you were going, and you knew that this was a character you created, because you had an idea already, and you knew where you were going with it, but if you had no idea where you were going with it, and you just started kind of running off what you were seeing, what you were hearing, then you were in connection with a messenger and you helped their image come to life.
Right. I really hate having to apply this term to them, but they basically behave an awful lot like how somebody would say an imaginary friend, but they're far from imaginary. It's the fact that...
they are with us in our everyday life, of course.
Right, but it's basically you can't see them. You can if... oh, God, that's very complex. Okay, so let's say you imagine them doing something in your head, like they're at a table flipping through a book or something. You don't physically see it, but technically in your mind's eye, you can see them.
What it is if you're focusing, let's say similar to channeling again, if you're sitting, anyone could do it if they really put their mind to it. If you're sitting alone or even with friends or with family members and you start seeing something mentally in your mind as relating to that messenger or that character. That is an interaction you're having with them. And this also leads into a subject that my sister and I have also been studying as of recent called splits. Since we are beings made of energy, even humans, if they practiced it long enough, could create energy splits. In this case, parts of you go to different parts of the world or different areas even outside of this realm, and explore. And this can lead you to being able to see and do other things in your mind's eye.
And I do personally believe that is empowering to you, because even if you don't consciously know where the split has been or what it's been doing, you still can get echoes from how they feel, what they've learned, even the strength they may have gained on whatever they were doing in another realm or in another part of the world.
That's another thing on splits my sister and I were actually discussing, was we've noticed that even with other messengers, some splits from off the main body will act as their own. They kind of, in a way, they carry out some of their own life by doing things on their own or doing things, I guess you could say, subconsciously. They never really stray too far from how you'd behave or how you'd handle things, but they just do things you wouldn't sometimes expect them to do.
It's a slightly alternate version of yourself. And I noticed when talking to them, sometimes or more commonly, you'll accidentally address them as though they were somebody else and not you, but it's still you.
One of my favorite notes about this that I'd love to bring up is you should never feel afraid to talk to yourself in that manner. Because sometimes splits carry an outer wisdom that you wouldn't think of right away. Perhaps there's a situation you don't know the answer to, but maybe they do, because they've been exploring around and learning things, or they have a higher consciousness. In this way, it's very similar to reflecting, or Zen, or meditation. It gives you a chance to connect with your higher self and get a higher understanding so you can handle something better, which is something the messengers would encourage you to do.
You know, you have to excuse me tonight. I have a very sore throat, and I'm really glad that my daughters are taking over the mic for me on this one. But speaking of the getting to a higher level of consciousness, I have a question.
Yes?
Do you feel that there has been lately, over the past month or two or three, a lot of people and I have spoken about feeling a change, a shift in consciousness, in enlightenment, even a shift on the earthen plane, like something's coming, something big is coming. Have your messengers given you any forewarning of it or any idea that you know they know what's going on, or do you have a feeling like that?
Actually, yes. Before I get to that point, I personally believe that since the dawn of human consciousness, they've been trying their best to contact us and prepare us for further consciousness. It's been a slow and steady evolution, but their best way of contact is, of course, through dreams. Unfortunately, this has gone long ignored or misunderstood, and even now, through my sister and I, and hopefully some others who understand, they're trying to get their word out so they can help us all advance. And through this, the biggest thing is that they want us to understand ourselves better, perhaps better ourselves, stop being so cruel, try to change some things about the world so we can all survive instead of falling apart.
I personally do believe that they're prepping us for something greater, though. If any other messengers that we've personally been in contact with know, they're not allowed to divulge it. They might hint at a couple of things, but they won't directly say what it is, whether because Council won't let them or for some other reason.
I've been in direct contact with Council, and much like my sister said here, since it is not my place to say so until the world is ready, there is, of course, something going on. It does relate, like I said, to the dawn of human consciousness, where they've slowly been building it up so that everybody can eventually get to a point where they can understand more and hopefully try to fix things up. They are working towards that goal, and it may take a long while, but they really want to try their best to try and expand their horizons to bring unity so that the world can come together and work together.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I think it's gotten to the point where the light workers and the people who are trying to do their best to make people understand that enough violence, enough going after each other, think ahead, think forward, think cosmically. Don't start thinking about, you know what's best. You got to listen to what your messengers are trying to get through to you. It took me a while to really understand that, but I think I got a pretty good idea what my messengers try to tell me day in and day out.
It's good to be self-sufficient, no doubt, and that's something messengers encourage in you. And that's a big problem with society today, is that they've been created into a belief where they have to rely on some other higher form for knowledge or whichever. But messengers will highly encourage that you become self-sufficient, like I said. But there's nothing wrong once in a while with where if you really don't know the answer, reaching out for help, because that's what they're here for. They will appear in dreams to give you warnings or messages, and they'll be there for you even as a friend if you're willing to, of course, reach out to them. And they are more than willing to reach out to you. But because they are helping you, it does not mean you should ever rely on them for every single thing, because eventually, like a good old-fashioned parent, they will try to get you back on the right track so that you do things on your own.
Right. Personally, they've been the best friends that I've ever had, and I feel Joy.
I agree.
Yeah, she agrees. Because when things are all good and when things are going well, there's tons of laughs. There's a lot of riotous fun going on, and it's always insanity. Just, it's not really describable, but it's so much fun.
When you're in a closed-minded kind of world, you wouldn't believe that having fun with an invisible figure to this realm would be that great. But when you're really open to it, it really is. And sometimes on lucky occasion, there are some dreams that, rather than being message dreams, my sister and I call them, where they're purely symbolic, there are some rare accounts my sister and I have had where they seem either between lucid and message or general lucid dreams where you get to interact. And sometimes when you get to be near them physically, you get to have fun with them, party, hang out, so on and so forth, even explore.
This is something we're still looking into, though, and personally we're trying to figure out more about it. But so we're kind of still working on that.
Well, if I may put an interjection in here, they're invisible basically to everybody, but you know they're there. It's almost like the same, you know, if I was to go out in public, and I do, I don't care anymore, you know, I'm out there, whatever, but if you go out in public and people look at you and you're just like, I don't talk like with my mouth, I just talk like telepathically. Because they would take me away, okay? Because
yeah.
You can't just stand there and say, it's my imaginary friend. They'll be like, yes, okay, you know, paddy wagon. But you sometimes, until you actually accept it for what it is, many people fear coming out of the proverbial closet, saying, yes, I have, you know, invisible messengers, guides, people that guide me, and I talk to all the time. Because they're afraid of ridicule.
The thing is, they're not really invisible. It's unfortunate they are separated from our realm by exactly that, plane differences. The energy vibration of theirs is higher than the vibration of the one of which is on Earth.
Well, it's the same with entity energy.
Exactly.
They're just a couple pluck tones vibration above human. And then messengers are
a little higher than that.
So, you know.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
This study so far, which we've divulged into, has actually been furthered by devices used to contact general entities. It seems like any attempts to further gain any messengers on that plane is actually rare. And when plucked to a higher frequency, when we were playing with this, our mom would know what I'm talking about. There's been this little, what's it called? It's not
an app.
It's an app.
Oh, yeah,
the ghost radio.
Yeah.
And if you set it to the normal frequency, you're more likely to get actual interactions that seem like they're from just general entities.
Yeah.
But upon setting it to a higher frequency of vibration, we actually managed to get contact from a council member and a couple of other messengers, though it is few and far in between, because Barrett has mentioned before during that test that it is actually difficult for them to reach, and we see this ourselves.
Well, that's the thing. There are many apps on the higher-end cell phones that you can play around with. But then you reach one that actually seems to prove itself, but then you have to take it and kind of tweak it and glitch it to your needs. And once you get it there, it's like you can open it up, and you'd be amazed at sometimes some of the things that come out of this. And you're just going, well, that can't be possible. But it is possible. It's very possible. Now, we're going to get ready, and we're going to take a musical break. And when we come back, how about you guys talk about symbolism in your life and how you use it?
Is there any way I can get one more word in?
Sure.
Okay. back when you were talking about, you know, talking to yourself out in public and you called them out as imaginary friend, which is not a preferred term for them, but basically, oh, where was I? Hang on a second.
Don't feel bad because I've been losing my memory left and right.
Yeah, I had it and then I lost it. Oh, yeah. Sometimes, actually, if you're talking to them out in public, Joy and I actually have to talk to certain messengers sometimes because you can't always connect with a specific one. There's ranges of different ones and people connect with certain messengers at a time. So you might be able to connect to one, but you might not be able to connect to another.
Yeah. Some of them, their vibrations work well with other ones compared to yourself. Like, there's ones that my sister can contact clearly, and I can't. But then there's ones that I can contact clearly that she has trouble with.
And finally, even though I was saying, like, yes, you can have tons of fun with them, riotous laughter, great conversations, if you are straying from your path or if you start doing something wrong, like, say, getting vindictive or going to a vice or something, they will get aggressive with you.
They'll get serious. I mean, they won't all get aggressive. Some of them approach you differently.
Yeah.
Depending on your personality and how they know how to work with you. Some of them might try to approach you gently if you respond well to that. If you respond by arrogance, they will be more aggressive. If you respond by being defensive, they will try to break down your walls and then stay with you when you actually finally get upset and cry or just relieve your stress, and then they'll try to talk to you and try to get you to resolve it.
And if it's a bad day when everything's just going wrong, they'll be there to comfort you, talk to you, or give you the advice you need.
Exactly.
Okay, that all sounds good. Now listen, we're going to take this musical break. And when we come back, are you guys okay with talking about symbolism?
Yeah.
And what the messengers provide you with to give you an idea of maybe what decisions you make, maybe you should or shouldn't go here or there.
Yeah.
So let's do a break. Let's do a 2-minute, 29-second break and have a little musical interlude, and we will be right back. Talk about how they decipher symbolism when the messengers come in and try and talk to them. And I'm going to go sip some of my tea and see if I can get my voice to come back. But have a listen to them. They have some things you might find interesting. So welcome back, Cassandra and Joyelle.
Thank you. I think a good thing to start with would be an example of a few symbols to help anyone understand that might be interested. And I think a good symbol to start with that's pretty simple is actually a lazy boy chair. Perhaps let's say in a dream you saw what was considered a friend of yours sitting in a lazy boy chair. To make it a little more complex here, let's say that they're sitting in a lazy boy chair holding a baby bottle and giving you demands.
Yeah.
This suggests that the person that you are in contact with could be detrimental to your health in the manner that they are making demands on you because they are too lazy to do things themselves and feel they need nourishment. We could even take it a step further and say that the baby bottle is empty, meaning that they feel they cannot get it on their own or that there is insufficient amount of what they need in their life, which they feel needs to be babied. And so they're putting the demands off on you to try and get you to do what they want because they feel they can't do it on their own. This is a warning that may be warranting you to cut away from them or at least to back them up and let them know what they're doing if you see them in the act physically. This can be taken as a warning that if you start to see them hinting or trying to push you in a direction of demands or trying to manipulate you so they can get things they want off of you, don't let them have it.
Another good one that I personally know that I have seen before is somebody sitting in a wheelchair asking everybody for water and forcing them to feel bad by doing so, so they hand it to him, but then he's going to laugh afterward because he's not really injured. This is essentially the equivalent of saying they pretend that, let's say they're handicapped in a sense of emotionally or no, we're going to go with emotional.
Yeah, emotional is usually used for water because water is usually the symbol essence of emotion.
Right. So basically what that translated to in a loose sense is he's sitting there asking for attention and sympathy from people from what he's gone through in his life.
I just noticed now that it can also be seen as a thirst for attention because he's asking for water.
True. Yeah, so you can either be... That's exactly it. He has a thirst for attention from others using what's happened to him in the past. So they feel sorry and give him the attention he wants. Then he laughs afterward because he doesn't actually feel like he really needs that support. He just wanted to get it from people.
It might also be good to mention in the dream you understood that he wasn't really handicapped. He was just using it as a means to get attention when he really had no damages.
Which implies then that you're already aware of it happening, whether it was conscious or mostly it is.
It's pretty much lying to people like he would actually do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You actually had a good idea of bringing up actual dreams we had because it'll make it easier to explain.
Yeah.
There was a dream I had about a year or two ago. I think it was actually just a year now. And I was in this strange platformed realm that each different level had some kind of reference to the underworld. In some strange way. There was a level that was themed like a carnival, then there was one that was themed with torture. But in the very start of this part of the dream, the platform they put you on, it was similar to, in shape, an elevator, but they were floors you had to jump up or run up. And the very first floor had balloons that were let go and floating into the air. I did not understand it right away, but upon doing official research for idioms, I found the term, the balloon goes up, meaning that things go absolutely awry. Things start getting troublesome or dangerous. And it made enough sense because at the time, there was a lot of perilous things going on. There was bill troubles. We didn't have, I think, sufficient funds for food for a little bit. And
yeah.
Things just went crazy. And it was almost like a warning that this is a challenge you're going to face, but you have to be strong enough to get through it. Which is something that I kept actually doing again and again. And now I think about it, it goes with the term try and try again.
Yeah.
Until I finally did get out of it and I succeeded and I was happy about it.
I remember a dream. It's the tail end of a dream. I was in a fight with somebody. And in real life, it was a big problem for me at that time. But in the very tail end of the dream, after fighting a monstrous version of this person I was faced against, it cuts to me suddenly in the back of our van, talking to my mother, talking about how proud I am that I fought and argued with this guy. And I exclaim, and I wore a diaper while I did so, which is essentially like them telling me, you're being a big baby about this, grow up.
Yes, I remember that one.
As blunt as it is, and as insulting as it is, they have the right to do it because, pun, babying me isn't going to help at this point.
Exactly.
So,
it's, what it is messengers are masters at mental understanding. Sometimes they understand us better than we think, and that's usually 90% of the time, if not 99% of the time. That's their job. They try to bring our emotions and feelings to the surface so they can work with us and try to get us to confront our fears or fix our problems. And ignoring them won't do any better because they will continue to come at you until the guilt or the problems pile up. Really, what they usually do is try to warn you before it gets that far.
Right. Like, around the time that we first started getting back into symbolism, way before we got to where we are now, it was getting to a point where dreams were piling up on me, and they were getting worse and worse. Like, they were nightmares, mostly, because they'd get scarier and scarier and scarier. And then I didn't want to believe what they were telling me, because I was like, no, 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 that can't happen. And there was this huge blowout with the person I was friends with that I feared the most, and I kept saying it wasn't going to happen. Then it happened. But I guess it's technically my own fault, because every time they tried to tell me, here's what you can do, you should, like, you know, they'd give me all these different things I could do, but I didn't want to believe that's where it was going. And it just kept getting worse and worse until it exploded.
I'm trying to remember what I was going to say now. I had it, and then I lost it.
Well, while you're thinking about it and you're regrouping your thoughts, can Cass take up 5 minutes just to let people know that she's working on a book, and just give a very brief little thought about it, and then we'll get back to what we were talking about.
Okay. Let me see. I'm working on a book right now called The Inner Council Dream Journal, and I'm not really fully to completion. I'm almost done with the draft, and then I got some other work to do on it, but I'm really excited about the idea of getting that out into the world, because not only is it a lot of fun on the adventures the characters go through, but it also holds what we're trying to teach now of symbolism and messengers as the entire storyline goes.
Okay, I remember what Buzz was going to say now.
Okay, go ahead.
I think at this point, from my sister and I's understanding, it is safe to say that messengers will also get you not only through dreams by symbolism, but in your waking life. And this is because there is actually a couple events in these past few days, and there was even ones that were a couple of years ago. I think my sister and I's one of our famous ones that we've absolutely understood since it happened. There was one time my sister and I took off angry on a walk. I was sick that day. We were just down talking the whole day, even though it was beautiful out. It was sunny. It was nice. Out of the blue, this also falls in tandem, by the way, with messengers can take form of a human body at any given moment if they're given the allowance to give their message. And this one woman just came jogging up next to us. We never heard her coming. We never saw her coming. But all of a sudden, she started talking to us and asking if we thought it was a beautiful day and things like that. And at the time, we said, yeah, but then we said we wished it could have been a better day. And she'd actually told us not to be so downtrodden when there's such a lovely day outside, and not to be so, what was it, pessimistic, I think she said.
Yeah.
And ironically, before she showed up, I told my sister I wished that I had a napkin because my nose was really running. And she asked me if I needed one, and she actually handed me one and gave it to me and told us to cheer up or smile because it was a beautiful day. And before we could catch up with her, it's like she almost went really quickly around a corner and we couldn't catch up. And there was a long stretch. There was no way she could have disappeared that fast. There was no corners, no nothing. The minute we turned the corner, she was just gone.
Yeah.
Now, let me interject on this, and we'll get back to Cassie's book, which she...
That's fine.
We might even do another show on it when she gets closer to.
Yeah, because right now there's not very much I can really say about it.
But on that point, like Joy was saying about the dog that went by, was it actually yesterday?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
That was yesterday. Joy and I were out at Home Depot, and we're just kind of looking through the bulbs, and we're just kind of hanging out, passing a little bit of time. And I'll let Joy explain what it was, but for me, I believe that messengers come, and the message that they bring is interpreted differently for each person.
It's basically ambiguous.
Yeah.
So I'll let Joy tell you what he looked like, and it was just very odd, but the message I perceived was meant for me, I believe, and the one Joy got was meant for her.
My husband, Barrett, actually touched on this, where he had explained to me that these symbols, this was actually a couple days ago we talked about this, the symbols that one might comprehend may be different for another. And this is because messengers understand that the symbol dictionary for each person is different. Let's say, for example, maybe you've had a bad incident in your childhood with, I'm trying to think of an object. It's a little difficult, but...
Yeah, just building out of nowhere is a little difficult.
Yeah. There could be an understanding, let's say, for if someone saw a pen in a dream, it means to them that they have to write something important down. Whereas to another person, it may be a completely different symbol because they understand it that way. Messengers will usually bend a sort of understanding around a little bit to a person's needs because it is easier for them to comprehend or understand. There are some symbols, though, that are unavoidable and cannot be changed and will often require you researching it in order to understand what it is.
Yes, and this man yesterday, he just walks right up to Joy
I was going to get to that point.
Okay, do you want to describe him?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was this older gentleman that walked up to us. He was dressed, and I want to say it looked like Western attire, which was kind of strange, seeing as most people around here I don't really see dressed that way that often. Out of nowhere, from behind us, we didn't hear him coming or anything that I mentioned. And he said, he'd say, hey, ladies, how are you doing? Would you like a lifesaver? And he pretty much had us hold out our hands, and he dropped two lifesaver mints into our hands. And he said they looked like we needed one. And then he laughed and said, sometimes I just hand them out like this to some people. And then he just walked off. And, of course, I mean, I personally do not trust things from strangers, so I wasn't going to eat it, obviously, and neither was my mom. It still felt like one of those where you took it as a symbol. They didn't mean for you to have to eat the candy or anything or whatever, but
it was
something that they pretty much gave to you, like, okay, it's the best we can do to physically manifest it so that it's in your direct attention. And it can either be understood from one person's point of view, like my sister and I, that it's a warning that someone might come along trying to coax you into using them for something so they can get you back for it. But to someone else, like our mother, it might be a symbol that help is on the way.
Right. Yes. Being that the candy was a lifesaver.
Yeah, that was
funny.
That was an obvious symbol enough. I understood it the minute I heard it.
Because Joy and I just looked at each other and kind of chuckled and went, huh. You know, because it was just like, okay. But it was just, he came out of literally nowhere. I mean, we didn't see him come up an aisle. And then he was just right next to us, and we're just like, oh, you know.
My sister and I were actually on the messenger scale just today.
Yeah.
We were out at Walmart, and this strange guy came by. Like, he just stopped and looked at us. Now, my sister and I, we like to dress how we like to dress. It's always been us. I was wearing a red dress that was silk.
With a pretty red bow. I mean, sorry.
It wasn't a bow.
Rose. I'm sorry. I meant to say rose.
It was pink. Rose. It's not white.
I'm colorblind.
And
don't make me get the broom.
My sister had black and white striped gloves on, and she had a black skirt on. I think it was black.
Yeah. I also had like a black shirt, you know, with a little white V-neck.
The collar.
Yeah. The collar, and I had my little black hat.
Your top hat.
Yeah.
Your Victorian top hat. And he stopped us, and he asked if we were dressed in costumes, and we said no. And he asked if we dressed like this in our everyday life, and we said yes, we do. And for whatever reason, he felt it necessary to ask if we were witches. My sister, go ahead.
Yeah, because, like, you girls witches. And without missing a beat, I just look at him going, no, just messengers. And we stare at him. He looks so confused. We're just all seriousness, a little smile, just looking at him.
Yeah.
He asks us, what, you want to say?
Yeah, he asked us what it was that we meant by that. My sister looked at me. As she explained in the van, she felt it was necessary to look at me. And I explained to him that we deliver messages to humans. Because my sister and I, through thorough discovery, working with the messengers, the way everything went down, we learned that we are earthen messengers. We were placed here to do our job.
And we're not the only ones. It's just trying to figure out, like, where the other ones are, if they're all...
A lot of them are scattered. Or like Barrett said, there's the misfortune that some of them fell into vices like other people or fell to peer pressure. And some of them... Go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
There's a very rare amount of them that are even stable anymore.
They haven't awakened even, it seems.
That's another problem. Some of them really haven't woke up yet.
You know, I have to interject on that, too, because that falls back on...
But I wasn't done with our story.
Okay, go ahead. Finish your story.
Really quick before we get to that, I explained to him shortly after that we are messengers giving messages to humans, as we put it, that we were beings that people see in their dreams. And I didn't know what else to say next, but I knew I had to say something else. And I reached out to a split, which I talked about with my sister a little bit ago. And I said, what should I say? And I heard my own split respond with, tell him beware the broken heart. This is because I work well with love and romance. I've always viewed myself as a love messenger, and the energy feeds me well.
And recently, nowadays, I'm finding myself as a form of malice or judgment.
And I turned to him, and I warned him of it. He, of course, didn't respond, and as concerned as he looked, he just kept going. But it's one of those where I sat and I asked myself in the car, like, what reason did I have to say that? And she came back and responded. She's like, he sees us as witches, right? And I was like, yes. And my split continued to explain that a witch is a malicious, manipulative person if viewed on a negative scale. There's the nice witches that are supposed to be out there, and then there's the bad ones by stereotype. And this is the way he viewed us. Being that he sees us that way for whatever reason, or understood it that way as a symbol, is that she put it, that a woman may be in his life looking to hurt him through means of romance. And this is like my sister's part in it, of which she asked as separate, that she could be malicious or of judgment. So she may be trying to smite him for something he either did or said, or just because she felt it was the desirable action.
Or also, secondarily, if you're seeing Joy and I at the same time, we can also be viewed as a form of balance, so that could be unbalanced if looked at negatively.
I don't think that really fit well, though, with it, because
yeah.
It seemed more likely for, like my split said, beware of the broken heart.
Yeah, because you were the one that had to say it. Do you still remember what you wanted to say?
sorry.
Oh, I don't know. I think that one kind of slipped right out there.
I was worried that was going to happen.
Yeah, it did.
I wanted to interject, but I would forget the rest of the story if I didn't mention it.
No, that's okay because, see, brain freeze, right? That's okay because with my throat and all, it's really...
I have it really bad tonight.
It's really nice that you guys are helping me out to get through the show. But I was thinking about that, and... I know a lot of people I've been talking to, even Robin, who's in the chat room,
Hello.
Was saying that Mark, her son, had seen an earth and met one, okay, that said he felt that he had to give a message to him. Many, many people are saying that they're seeing more and more and more and more people, or what seem like people in human form, are walking up to people going, you know, I've got a message for you, but they don't know where they come from. Or they don't see them go.
I think I really want to put this interjection in here, and I really think it's important to mention that no messenger ever belongs to one particular religion. And that's one thing they really want to break as a boundary. None of them ever originated from a religion. Religions are man-made. These beings have been here as celestial beings for light years, long before our own existence.
Yeah.
And they may mimic appearances from it because they took a liking to it, or they were born into that area, or they chose to be in that area.
Or they related in some way.
But at any one time, they'll make it explicitly clear they are never prejudiced to another belief. So if you ever see them, people should never say it's because they originated from one or they belong to one and no one else has a right to believe in it, because that's not true. Messengers really honestly encourage a belief of your own, what you see, how your venture and how your life has gone, instead of believing what other people tell you to believe.
Right.
Yeah, I found that talking to a lot of people day in and day out, it's almost come down to, in this day and time frame, that whatever gets you through the day, no matter what your belief is, no matter if it's Catholicism or Buddhism or Judaism or Presbyterian, whatever gets you through, or eclectic like I am, all right? I listen to everybody from every denomination. I don't down anybody for it.
If anything,
nor do I want them to down me for what I believe.
If anything, I think the messengers are really trying to push for the people to stop arguing over, no, my belief is right, no, yours is wrong, mine's right, because they don't want that. They want everyone to be united and be able to work together. And if you can't accept one or the other's differences, just part ways or whatever. Just don't. It doesn't mean you have to quit being their friend, but just don't discuss the belief, or perhaps just get along with the fact that there are differences and there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Well, you know, a lot of people believe, along with me, that as this cosmic shift that's going around the world, I believe it's trying to ping off many people, wake them up. Everybody is born with gifts, abilities, indigos, crystals, warriors, everybody. People like me that can speak with the people on the other side.
Yeah.
It's pinging them. It's trying to wake them up. Some people are fighting it, and it makes them crazy. It, like, makes them short-circuited and violent and nasty and arrogant.
This problem is because people have lost themselves. They've fallen to the need for control and manipulation, and you're not allowed to speak out without being seen as crazy, because if you don't believe in a certain belief, then you're a bad person. You're a crazy person.
Oh, go ahead, Mom.
No, I wanted to interject, because Joy's right. When this, as this cosmic shift strengthens and is trying to ping awake everybody's cosmic, knock them up a level, a peg or two, the ones that don't want to or refuse to tend to be the ones that dig in and cause the most trouble, cause the most problem. And they're the ones that always end up making a big scene. Or a lot of people are now saying, I'm really sick, I'm having these terrible migraines, these terrible headaches, because they are not giving up the control. The cosmic level, as the shift is going, wants you to give up manipulation and control.
As a love messenger, I honestly feel my biggest goal one day is that I would love to see, at least, even if it takes years after I'm gone, some of the world trying to get it together, some of them trying to stop the violence, be more compassionate about each other, because the world has lost its sense of love. I'm tired of seeing people blaming love for something that was their own fault. Just generally as a messenger, it is my concern to see people that, because a relationship didn't go right or something, they blame love for it, when clearly they were the ones who had to make the decision. Coming straight from the mouth of a love messenger, I would have to say, if you are struck with an arrow, as you understand it and as I understand it, it is not that instantly that means you have to fall in love with that person. That arrow is made to make you think about the relationship or pursuing a person. Is it worth it? And that choice is up to you. As a split once put it for that, if you are walking and you see an arrow on the road, do you follow it or do you decide to go the other way if you see a fork in the road? In this word she's giving, you have a choice. There's nothing saying you have to follow it. Instead, you make that choice on your own, and you should never be blaming some outside source for some choice that you have to make.
Right. And my personal thing here in life, if I can get my book out to help widen the horizon, or horizon? Wow, I'm tired.
Yeah, widen your horizon.
We're getting punchy.
Because at this point, people need to open a little bit more. So they can't sit there and keep thinking, oh, if I talk about it, somebody's going to put me on medication. They're going to call me crazy, which is unfair.
It is. It's very unfair.
Everything's becoming a disorder, and it's not correct. It's just, it's not right.
I really disdain that if you're speaking in the guise of a religion, then that's suddenly okay. But if you decide that you want to talk a little bit about your own belief, that makes you crazy, and it isn't right. It shows through the manipulation, and it's something people need to stop doing.
Or yeah, it's not accepted because it's weird, and society's just going in one straight line of nothing, like nothing but being the same. And
yeah, how you have to behave.
Yeah. And have
like
you
that.
And have you noticed how if you go to your doctor because you're not feeling well, or maybe you're having, you're suffering migraines, or maybe you're just, you're wired, you're just like, I'm hyper, I'm always going to be doing something, I don't know what's wrong, I always feel nervous or whatever. The first answer they'll give you is, we have a drug for that.
Yeah.
Which means that they want to give you a control mechanism. Instead of just letting you queue up as the shift happens,
and
they want to dull your senses so they can control and manipulate you.
I was about to say, and it's no big secret, especially with any mental medicine, they've made it clear that it'll essentially turn you into a zombie. And I've actually been doing research on this by means of, I have PTSD myself. I refuse medication. I won't take it. I'd rather go the natural route where I'll use chamomile tea instead because it relaxes me. And it's been evident from other people I've seen on online forums where they say that the medicine makes them feel worse. It makes them feel like a zombie because that's essentially what they're doing. They're dulling down your senses so you can't think for yourself or try to help yourself.
Well, that's because that's where humanity is trying to go, is where everything can be controlled. Everything can be manipulated right down to the humans, to the plants that they deem invasive, to the animals, everything.
The medicine also makes itself addictive so that they feel that if this person keeps coming back to me, they got to give me more money so that I can use it. And this is one thing the messengers are largely against.
So hopefully in waking up more people and getting them to really look into themselves and better themselves and not rely on things like that, and maybe even help others out that you can tell aren't happy and need the help.
Exactly.
That's just it. You know, you struck on another chord again. The whole idea of control. Everything, like you said, in plants, in animals, just in society in general, control is the worst component in trying to get the whole shift going. More people are committing suicide at such a high rate of speed now because they can't deal with all the input that they're getting.
It's depressing.
It's
also
depressing
because they're sick of seeing the control, and people wonder why they leave. It's because no one cares anymore. People are just objects anymore, throwaway objects in other people's eyes because there hasn't been any compassion.
And that's one thing that the messengers have tried to teach us and others is compassion.
Morality is a big one.
Yes.
Yeah. People right now are just, they're losing it. You know, you can go out to a store, and I've seen it with all of us, Cass and Joy and I, and we can smile at someone and try to, like, make their day a little bit better, and they're just like, what are you looking at me for? You know, and you're like, what? We're just saying hi, you know, to you or something.
Or they ignore you, or they insult you for being nice to them.
Because their pride at this point is, I don't need your pity, or I don't need you looking at me or doing that. They're self-conscious. They've let pride get to them, and that's where society's going.
When really it's not pride, it's just insecurity because they've been beaten into peer pressure.
Right.
Yeah, peer pressure is bad. I don't like peer pressure. Peer pressure happens in any stage of life, from when you're in elementary school to, you know, to like when you're 70, 80 years old and they're like, I'm going to live longer than you and I'm going to feel better than you.
But people have to learn to get beyond peer pressure where they don't feel pressured by it. They have to be able to accept themselves and stop fearing what other people think.
And if there's something you don't like, just work on it. And that's what our messengers has helped us do with all the things we don't like about ourselves. There's still things we're trying to work out.
Exactly.
You know, Cass, Joy, and I have made a bond to agree to disagree. And we do a lot, you know. But I also know that there are things that influenced me in my younger days that I'm still working on to this day. And they are working on their issues. And that's what it's about. And if everybody that's out there in the world would work on their issues,
the world could be a better place.
Yes, it could be a much better place. And, you know, we're coming up on the, well, we're a little bit past the 9 o'clock hour. So I'm going to start saying, is there anything you want to say before we say goodnight? And I put our outro music on, and we go. Do you have something you want to say before you go?
Yes. My personal, of course, for me, joy, is that I would like to say, follow your dreams. Don't give up hope. Never stand down. Don't be afraid to be who you are. And if you feel it's absolutely right to do so at any time, voice your opinion, because it does matter in the end of all things. Even if you don't think it took effect, even if no one listened to you, there was a reason you had to say it, a reason you had to do it. And don't give up on that.
I second Joy on that.
Okay, if that's what you second. Thanks for stopping by and listening to Cassandra, Joyelle, and their mom, me, Barb King, here on Perceptions of the Arcane. And I will be posting up the time and place for my next show. And I love you all, and have a great night and a wonderful day tomorrow. Take care.